Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What's your take on the new Pope? Growing up on the south side of Chicago, the Cubs claimed him as a Cub fan, but his brother told WGN he's a Sox fan. How did the pontiff get elected without declaring? Do you imagine he's a Bears, Bulls, or Blackhawks fan as well?
I love this is the first question.
I got to tell you, I mean, it is such a kick that we have a Pope from Chicago. It's just phenomenal. And I hope he's a fan of all Chicago teams and all Chicago sports. I mean, when you just stop and think about it, like the papacy's been around a long time. We've never had a baseball fan who was a Pope. No Pope would ever know anything about baseball. And the fact that he just grew up where he grew up in Dalton.
They don't play baseball in Poland.
Minty played in Little League. And I'm just saying, it's like, you know, Karol Wojtyła, Pope John Paul II, was famously a soccer goalie.
Yes.
So, I mean, we have seen athletic people move into leadership in various places. But it's just extraordinary to me that there's a guy from Chicago that is now the Pope. And I think it's great for Chicago. I think it's great for America. I think it's great for Catholicism. I think it's going to help the church in this country. And this guy, by all accounts, is pretty progressive and is going to keep doing the good work that Pope Francis was up to. So, I mean, I'm tickled pink. I think it's awesome. I love it.
I agree, Mully. I was thrilled to hear this. He was slightly on the radar when they were kind of handicapping this thing, if you will. I mean, you could place a bet.
He was a long shot.
Right.
I mean, he was long shot.
He was 66-1 in
good
England.
Good price.
Did you get him?
Did you get him
for that, Dustin?
I did not. No. I thought it was, you know, listen, that's something that I decided not to bet on. You know, I will bet on two drops of rain on a pane of glass, but I was not going to bet who was going to be our next Pope. You know, got the news, texted with the family, got the DVR rolling, wanted to see the reaction, in the square, and wanted to hear him speak. I'm really excited, and I think it will at least be a burst to Catholicism here, especially in Chicago. I think, you know, it's a good thing. My kids are into going to church, and I think this is a good thing, and I'm excited. I'm kind of surprised, though, that the Cubs have not taken down the tweet. I don't get it. I mean, it's okay. I sent a piece of audio. I don't know if I sent it to the group, but I know I sent it to Brandon off of ABC National News. their reporter talking about the fact that the Pope was indeed a Cubs fan. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame the Cubs. They just got a little over their skis, as we like to say.
Well, my initial impulse, I swear to God, I thought, could I fly to Rome? Could I get like a weekend in Rome and just celebrate and go to church? And yeah, I mean, I really felt compelled
it's
to like
interesting
rush
call.
There.
You felt a calling, right?
I mean, much more so than priesthood, Sam.
Well, what a tremendously giddy day in Chicago. No doubt about it. I love all of the enthusiasm. It was a day, kind of everything else was overshadowed by this huge news, a international story that was easy to localize, the easiest one. And yeah, you talk about the ultimate Chicago guy made good. From the second city to Vatican City, all the things, all the fun and all the jokes and all the memes and all the social media joy. Twitter has never been a more joyful place than it was yesterday. Usually you go there and you see all the rancor and negativity, but not yesterday. And you talk about a rebuild. You talk about knowing, to apply a sports analogy, this is how you galvanize a fan base. This is how you get Catholics going back to church in America. You talk about Dustin mentioning his daughters, you mentioning wanting to go to Rome. This has all kinds of possibilities of bringing people back to the church just because of that enthusiasm they felt yesterday. There are a lot of sports and religion comparisons that are apt because sports to many people is religion. So it was 5 minutes before we heard the news before someone was asking, well, is he a Cub or a Sox fan? And that dominated the conversation the rest of the day. You know he was a Bears fan. He had to have been. His age, he's 69 years old. You know, when he was a young man, the Bears were winning a Super Bowl. If he was a Sox fan, he was rooting for the Bears. You got to believe that, right?
What year was he born? I mean, 55?
55.
So in 63, they won a title.
He was a teenager.
I'm just saying.
That was his formative years.
Yeah.
He probably prayed for the Bears to win in 63. So this is a great story, and it's going to be a lot of fun just to talk about all of the connections.
Pick six.
If the Pope ever does participate in any type of Chicago sports event in his hometown, what will the first occasion be?
I cannot believe we're doubling down on Pope questions.
Okay.
Well, how many Pope questions were submitted by both of you?
I'm so happy.
Bless you, Dustin.
Yes.
Bless you.
Go and be a
because
fisherman.
This is fun to consider. All right. Well, will he be at the first Bears game? Probably not. Will he throw out the first pitch for the Sox this summer? That's pretty quick turnaround. I doubt it. Can he get to the NBA draft lottery Monday night and replace Matas as the Bulls representative? They could use some help. When you only have 1.7% chance. At first, before yesterday, I thought the Bulls had no shot. Now, I'm rethinking everything. Maybe they have a pipeline. Maybe some divine intervention. I don't know what he. My guess is none of the above. He won't be throwing out a first pitch. Popes don't throw out a first pitch. Popes don't throw out first pitches. What's he going to do? They're going to pick him up in the Pope-mobile, like out of the bullpen? Wheel him onto the mound so he can throw out the first pitch? No. I think that's fun to consider, but he's not going to do any of that stuff, is he?
He looks fit enough to throw out the first pitch.
He does.
Just saying.
Well, in that picture that he at the 2005 World Series, he looked like he was locked in, too.
Yeah.
So the White Sox have already sent a jersey with his name on it and a hat. It's on the way to Rome. I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? I do, in all seriousness.
Yeah, it is considering they can't get Tim Elko from Charlotte to Chicago. They can get a jersey out
they're
to
busy.
Vatican City.
They're busy. They haven't gotten this much good press in how long? When do you expect him to come to America? And when do you expect that he's? You would think.
I would doubt it would be his first trip. I would think that there would be, you know, certain things that need to be done and
more pressing issues.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
I will say, when he comes, I think whatever season we are in, I think he will go. I mean, it seemed like sports were a big part of his childhood, and he still pays attention to it. So I think he will, when he comes, I think it's all going to depend on what sport, what season we are in, and I think he will show up. I think he will.
I think, Dustin, that he will come here and fill a football stadium or
on
fill,
his own, right?
Yes.
Of course.
Like, I don't think it's about, you know, cheering.
Or,
I mean, if we're being honest about it.
Yeah, yeah. But, can you imagine if he's throwing out the first pitch? There'd be 50,000 people probably wanting to flock and just to be around it.
The rate would have a sellout.
I got a friend of mine, Billy Johnson. Billy and I went to high school together, and he went to Villanova. And so we were exchanging some stuff about him being at Villanova. And I couldn't help but think, like, if the Ramblers can't get Jalen Brunson from their own backyard or the Pope, then what are they doing? What are they up to? How do you lose out on a couple of guys like that?
How about we have a Sister Jean and Pope meeting?
That would be a summit. A summit. That'd be great.
A Chicago spiritual summit.
I was once at St. Peter's for Easter, and Mother Teresa was there with John Paul II. That was pretty spectacular.
Did Mother Teresa ask you where you were from, or if you were from?
No, he did.
If you were from America, and you said, no, I'm from Chicago.
That is a true story. That was my... I am blessed enough to have met
Pope
John Paul II twice. I met him once at Quigley when he came to our high school, and then I was in Rome and we had an audience. And I'm, you know, I like him. It was awful, I think, because I'm like leaning over, grabbing the guy by the arm. And the week before we had gone, some nuns went at him with scissors and were cutting up his gown to try to get, like, you know, saint vestiges. It was crazy. So the security was like extra tight. And I'm like leaning over. I've got him by the elbow and I'm shaking his hand and I have a photo of it. I'm so happy. And the man looks at me and says, "Where are you from? America." And I swear to God, I forgot he could speak English. And I thought I was hearing, like, I don't know, but I
being
heard
spoken
myself,
to from above.
With all I could have said to him, all the questions you have, or there, I said, "No, Chicago." And then he just kept going, and I'm like, "Oh!" Like the next photo would be me like, "God, like, what an idiot! How do you blow that moment?"
But you had a story forever then.
Oh, but it was a dumb one. It's not a proud story. Anyway,
wait, that's go a good Pope. Question.
Go Pope.
The Pope.
It was on billboards yesterday, digital billboards.
Of course.
I mean,
of course.
What kind of statement did the Cubs make by calling up Kate Horton to pitch Saturday night against the Mets in New York? Why do you think they ultimately made this decision now? What would represent a good start for Horton?
I find this fascinating. I think that... there has been talk. I heard John Morasi on the afternoon show yesterday say that he wonders if they will have an opener because the opening of that Mets lineup is so good, it's conceivable that they would want to have Chris Flexen open the game and then have Kate Horton come in. I kind of hope he gets his own start, but if that's the way they want to play it, then, you know, bravo, because you want him to definitely get through a couple of times, and I don't know if you want him going through it three times. So if they have an opener, maybe he gets two times after that, and he can get a little bit later into the game. But I mean, you're looking for the same thing you're always looking for, which is five or six innings, right? And you want to have him strike out more than he walks. I think he's been having a problem with walking some people, according to what Morasi was saying. But I fully expect to see him with the good stuff, and I think that we'll see him go. I'm going to say just for the sake of this this moment, I'll say five innings with five hits allowed. And maybe four strikeouts, and that's it. I'll take that, and I'd run like a thief in the knife.
Yeah, I think
maybe one earned run.
Yeah, four innings, five. Two. I think, what do you think, 55, probably 60 at the most, the pitch count?
70.
I don't know if he gets that.
Get to 70.
All right. Why did they do it? Because if not now, when? We've talked about it. If not now, when? And I think Tommy Hotovy made a really good point. I think it was pregame Wednesday, talking about it could be even harder to make your debut at Wrigley, even though this is New York. Like, just it's hard. It's the major leagues. It's going to be a big deal no matter what. But people, you talk to people who know this guy, they talk about the guy is like cool as a cucumber. He's made big starts in the College World Series. So he's been in big moments as you can be in the, you know, collegiate growing up level. He's pitched in college. I'm just saying, and it's going to be different, of course.
It will be.
But I mean, but you, it's something, right? It's something. Yes. It's not nothing. So again, if not now, when? And again, good, no bullpen day. And then what was all this? There was also, like, I don't know if it was asked this way or who suggested it, but like, that Chris Flexen would start Saturday night?
That's a possibility, according to John Morosi.
He'd be the opener.
I know, but I, you know, with all due respect, did Morosi bring that up, or was he asked, is that a possibility? That's what
he brought it up.
He brought it up,
yeah.
Unsolicited.
He said he'd heard that.
Well, that's
but
dumb.
Did you hear what I just said? They want him to be able to stay in the game, and his idea was if he didn't have to pitch to the first three guys three times, he might be able to go longer in the game.
But you're getting him out of what he's used to doing. Every time I say that this or that or should have happened, I'm reminded, well, that's not how it usually works. He usually does this. He usually does that. I mean, keep him like he normally does. Warm him up. Get him out there. Let's see what happens.
Cade Horton is the number one prospect in your organization. He's 23 years old. He's 3 months older than Caleb Williams. He is no shrinking violet. He is up for this moment. He was made for this moment. If he is going to be the guy you think can be your ace on a team that's going to go deep into October for years to come, this is a good place to start him. There's no bad place to start him. It is the major leagues, whether you're at Citi Field in New York or Wrigley Field against the Marlins. It doesn't matter. You're going to have to manage that anxiety at some point in time. And the time's now, because the urgency exists. I'm glad the Cubs responded this way. I don't care how long it took them to announce it. I don't care what they did in terms of deliberating it. This is the right move at the right time. They need to win this series. It's not a must-win. We're talking about a first-place team in early May. These aren't must-win games. It's not a must-win series. But you'd like to get back on track, and starting Cade Horton is a step in that direction. He is the right guy to replace Shota Imanaga in the rotation. 5 innings, 75 pitches, 1 run, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks. That's what I want to see. I think he's capable of doing that, and I think the Cubs did the right thing.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
Voice of Bruce Levine is with you at 9 this morning. Will the White Sox win the series against the Marlins at home? How will the Cubs fare in New York against the Mets?
No, the Sox won't win the series at home. The Marlins are going to come in here, take 2 out of 3. I hope the Sox win tonight. I hope Tim Elko is in the lineup. I don't have confidence in either prediction. I think they lose 2 out of 3. The Cubs go into Citi Field, and they do win 2 out of 3. They're going to hit. They're going to pitch. They're going to finally catch ground balls and throw to the right base. So they had a little bit of a blip against the Giants, but I think they go into Citi Field, and they win 2 out of 3.
I predicted the Cubs would take 2 of 3 on the Fly the W podcast yesterday. We'll see if I was right or wrong. As far as the Sox, I mean, you got the fifth place, the worst team in the National League East, taking on the worst team in the American League Central. You know, something's got to give. Let's hope they win a game.
Let's
right?
hope they score a run.
Just having some fun with it. Okay, if the Pope is a Sox fan, the Pope will pray that they get one win.
Yeah, I don't think that's connected.
Is that blasphemous?
Absolutely. I think a lot of we're trying to have some fun and we're kind of talking about stuff. I don't think you're supposed to be saying that kind of thing. But I mean, a lot of stuff we've said we shouldn't say. But I mean, I don't know what blasphemy is anymore. I think we're just trying to have fun, and I think we're happy about it.
I was trying to have
fun,
for the record.
And you meant it in a
very joking manner.
Yes, so I don't consider it blasphemy. You go and sin no more. I would say that the White Sox, they can't score runs at all. I get it. It's harder on the road than at home, but They can't score runs, and then when it comes time to win, they can't win. So I got to – they have matched last year's start. They've matched the worst start in baseball history. So I have very little faith in them. I think the Cubs can win this series. I think I'd be happy if they won two games in this series, but I think they might win one game in this series.
These are concerns and questions that people are asking.
What's your reaction to the Anaheim Ducks hiring former Blackhawks coach Joe Quenneville as their new coach? Quenneville's been out of hockey since 2021 after resigning as the Panthers coach in a fallout of a loss firm report that detailed how the Blackhawks organization failed to address allegations by former player Kyle Beach that he was sexually assaulted by video coach Brad Aldrich during the 2010 Stanley Cup run. Quenneville was cleared to return to the NHL nearly a year ago.
Over nearly 4 years, I've taken time to reflect, to listen to experts and advocates, and educate myself on the realities of abuse, trauma, and how to be a better leader. I hope others can learn from my inaction. I've spoken to Kyle more than once, including this morning. I've apologized to him and expressed how much I regret not following up and taking action. I had to be more aggressive at that time. I fully understand and accept that those who question my return to the league. I know words aren't enough. I will demonstrate my actions that I am a man of character. We'll be a team this community can be proud of, both on and off the ice.
Your reaction?
I can't get past one thing, which is, I believe it was last July, they made him eligible to participate again in the NHL. So I felt that he would be hired in the last cycle, to be honest with you, just because of the way they said that you could hire him. And I thought someone would hire him. And it just goes back to the same thing when you're trying to find a coach and you're looking for who the leader is. He addressed this. He came out. That was the first thing he said. He went right to the heart of the matter. And he should. And, it's a big deal. But the very fact that they made him eligible to be a head coach in the NHL was almost condoning his return, okay? Whether anyone wants to look at it that way or not, if the guy was still suspended, he wouldn't have been hired. But they said, okay, enough time has been served. He's now eligible to be a head coach, and here's a team that wants a head coach. I'm not in any way bypassing or forgiving any transgressions that were committed. And certainly, the worst thing about this is that Brad Aldrich went on to commit crimes against, young people that were not protected because the Blackhawks were more concerned with how their team looked and how people perceived them than whether they were protecting a player or protecting a community. So I don't forgive any of that, but I do think that the minute that they made the decision that he was eligible, he was going to be selected because he's a really good coach.
This one's really tricky for me personally. The league, as you pointed out, Mully, and I think it's an excellent point, is that they said he's eligible to return. The NHL made him ineligible, and now he is eligible. Stan Bowman, David, I know you're going to know the answer. Stan Bowman got a job first.
The Oilers.
He's the Oilers, but I don't know if everybody in Chicago and realize Stan Bowman got a job basically the day after he was allowed to get a job again. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a couple other people on that totem pole, if you will, of hierarchy that are still not working in hockey. Right? The league says he can work, but I think it's always like if you pause during the cycle before and decided it's not the right time. What's changed that now it's the right time? And second chances are a big thing, and I believe in second chances. But this one's really tough.
Well, it's complicated. Certainly, it's emotional, and I respect everybody who believes that this was a terrible decision, and they never wanted to see Joe Quenneville behind the glass again. I'm not one of those people. I think that he has served a penalty, and he has been out of the league for a while. I don't think that a lifetime ban made sense to me. He sounded contrite. He's going to sound contrite. That was a powerful statement. It was full of introspection. It was full of contrition. And frankly, I think it was full of humility. Did somebody else write it for him? Maybe. But I do think he delivered it from the heart. And I do believe him, because he now not only has an opportunity to prove that what the work he did on himself actually made him into a different person, to look at things differently. Now he has an obligation to do that with the Anaheim Ducks, with a young team. And he spoke about being able to protect those players, to be able to speak. He spoke in a way that he never spoke before, because things have been made aware to him that he never really considered before. What happened during his watch in Chicago was despicable. And it some people will never forgive or forget, and that is okay. The league has, and he has a right to seek a job, and the Ducks have a right to employ him. I don't think he was going to some of these other teams that are contenders, because I don't think they wanted to bring that baggage into their organization. This is a different scenario in Anaheim, because I think they need that structure. They want that discipline. And Joe Quenneville regardless of everything we just discussed and all the complications and emotions that he brings to his next job, he's the second winningest head coach in NHL history. Right. He will make an impact on this team, and he will make an impact on these young lives. And it sounds like he's committed to making that a positive impact this time.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Would you like to see the Bears sign defensive end Javion Clowney, who was released by the Panthers yesterday? Carolina is the sixth team the former number one overall pick has played for in the last 7 years. It's already been linked with the Lions, the Commanders, the Giants. Would it be a nice finishing piece for your Bears?
Understand the question. It's an obvious one. They need help on the edge. I'd rather see Austin Booker take those snaps than Jadeveon Clowney. Did you remember that one big hit he had in college when South Carolina, he hit that Michigan guy? He doesn't even have a double-digit sack season in all of his NFL career. I know he's been productive lately, but I just don't know at 32 years old if this is something you're going to necessarily be clamoring for or looking too hard at if you're Ryan Poles. I would take a pass.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about these kind of things all the time. Why is he on his sixth team and now his seventh team? Injuries, locker room. You know, he has all the tools, but I think this is when you're a guy away from playing for a championship. And even, you know, the blue and orange Kool-Aid drinker that I am, I've got him at 10 wins, and I don't think that Clowney gets him to 11.
Yeah, I got to tell you, he basically will get you 5.5 sacks. Pretty much gets 5.5 sacks every year. And, you know, could that be the difference in winning or losing, having a winning season or a losing season? I don't know what kind of money he's looking for. I know that he'd be likely a one-year guy, because that's kind of where his career is going now. He's 32 years old, so he's on the back end of it. If I determined that I was short one player, that's a pretty good player to have. If you also wind up, behind the Commanders, if you wind up with the Lions doing something, I just think, why wouldn't you look into it? Why not know where he's going, what the money is, and I'd make a call, no question about it. I just think anything that can help. And I wouldn't want to spend my last dollar on it or prevent something else from happening. But I think the guy has had a career, and I think he's a solid kind of rank and file guy. And for a year, maybe he helps you. Who knows? Maybe you help develop those players. I don't know. But I would totally make a call.